Spirit Catholic Radio, KVSS. We are Catholic Radio for the Christian community. Good morning. Welcome to Spirit Mornings with Bruce McGregor and
Chris McGregor.
I was going to say, Chris, that we are going to Spain today on the phone. We're going to be talking with Father Jose Antonio Fortea, a priest in the diocese in Madrid in Spain, an expert in the field of demonology, an approved exorcist of his diocese. He's conducted numerous exorcisms and lectures on this topic throughout the world and is author of a book called Interview with an Exorcist. Father, good morning and welcome to our program.
Good morning. Good afternoon here.
Father, it's a fascinating read, Interview with an Exorcist. Why did you feel you needed to compile it?
I have to say that I had no interest in my whole life until the moment my bishop asked me to go to his desk and he say that I have to do my thesis for the university in this topic. In this moment, I have to begin to read about this topic, but it was the first time. Until that moment, I have no idea about that. From that day, I had to visit exorcists in the world, to go to libraries, to read everything I could find, and after that to begin to receive people. But in my case, it was something that came from my bishop.
Father, today so many consider belief in demonic possession or an exorcism to be superstitious, a remnant saved from the Dark Ages. But that's not really true, is it?
If the atheist say that, I could understand. But for me, it's a real pity that many times even Christians say that. Because a Christian has to believe what the Bible says, and the Bible is very clear about that. But the problem is that in Europe and in North America, many Christians have begun to read the Bible in a very symbolic way. Mm-hmm. Past centuries, when the Bible said something, the people said, the Bible says that. But in this present time, when a Christian says the Bible says this, the other Christians say, well, we have to see the interpretation. That is symbolic. You have not to read in that way. Sure that there will be a theologian that will explain to you in another way. That's a real, real pity in this moment, because we need so much the medicine of the direct voice of the Lord. And in this moment, we have not even that.
That's true.
Right. Father, let's get to one of the basic precepts here. We hear a lot about demons. What is a demon? And they're not all the same, are they?
There is another creation, that is the angelic creation. It was before the material creation of this universe. And when God created spirits, he can create all the spirits and universes that he wish. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But love is an answer of a free will. You need liberty to give love. Love cannot be something compulsory, cannot be something that you have to do force. It's something free, it's something that comes from the inner part of your will. You cannot buy love. And that is the reason that God puts a trial to the angels, a test. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The test will make the angels, through faith, to give love, through sacrifice, through confidence, through all the virtues that we can find in the people. Is exactly the same in the angels, because they knew that they were created, but they did not see the face of God. They did not see the essence of God. And for that reason, they needed faith to do what it was hard for them. And in that test, some spirits, they were more attracted for their own beauty, for their own intelligence, and they have no confidence in that infinite spirit that is God. And it began a rebellion. At the beginning, not hate, not hatred, but their own judgment upon the judgment of God. And step by step, they were going farther and farther. And finally, the rebellion in front of them became real hatred.
So it did not originate with hatred, more that they loved themselves more than God.
Well, at the very beginning, it was just a judgment that prevailed upon the judgment of God. Later, it came a lack of confidence. Later, they begin to think perhaps he is wrong. Later, they thought, why cannot live in freedom? Well, we have to obey. Well, we have to kneel upon another spirit, even the fact that he is infinite. But why we cannot be completely free? And step by step, they finally became beings with hate in their hearts.
Mm. It sounds almost like the rebellion of humans.
Yes, it's very, very similar, because we cannot forget that we are spirits too. We are spirits with a body, but we are essentially spirits.
Right.
It is true that in our creation, the body is part of our being. It's true. But the spiritual part is the upper part of our being. And we are spirits, really, with a body. We are a body, too. But we can separate the spirit and the body, and we are in the spirit. And the body will corrupt and destroy completely. I know that many theologians are completely against this division. They say that it's a Greek division, but that the truth is not in such a way. But my experience with the demoniacs and speaking with demons make me to have a clear idea that we are spirits with a body, and we have to sacrifice everything for the spirit, because the body will not be with us in heaven. We will recover our bodies after the resurrection, but there will be a time, a century, 2 centuries, 1,000 years, that we will not be with the body. We don't know how much time, but
sure,
we will be ourselves, and we will be with our body.
Father, we've talked about demons, the plural, but what about the devil? Is he merely a symbol of evil, or does he really exist?
Among all the spirits that were rebellious, one was the most intelligent, powerful, and beautiful spirit of all. And he was the head of the rebellion. And finally, he became one of the most powerful spirits in hatred, because he was the head of the rebellion. He was the tempter for other spirits that will become tempters too. And the Bible, when speaks about devil or Satanas, speaking a very different way, as somebody very powerful, somebody that has a very incredible power. You have to read, for example, the book of Job, and Yahweh speaks a lot very admirative way, speaking about his nature, mm-hmm. about how wonderful he created him. At the same time, he says that he's a monster. But one thing is not contradictory with the other point. He can be with an incredible power of intelligence, an incredible power, pure power, and at the same time to be a monster.
Well, with that in mind, Father, should we be afraid of the devil?
Well, the Bible is very clear. We have to be we have to have fear only of one. We have to have only the holy fear of God. That fear, because we are not worthy to go before the throne of His sanctity. Mm-hmm. That is the only fear we have to have. If we fool ourselves of that holy fear, we will understand perfectly that no other fear is reasonable, because the throne of God has full power of everything. I like to compare always God with Matrix. Everybody has seen the film Matrix.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the film, the beginning of the film, for me was very beautiful to understand in a more vital way that if you are somebody that controls all the programmation of everything, you can do everything in any moment. And God is like Matrix. We are in the universe that has been programmed by His hand, and He can do everything. But the beauty of this creation is that this creation developed in the way of the laws that He had put in this universe. But at the same time, He reserves the right to intervene in any time He considers that is worthy or proper.
Well, that leads to another aspect of this discussion, I think, Father. When we talk about our temptations and our temptations to sin, are our temptations, are they caused by demons?
For common people, it's almost impossible to know when the temptation comes from ourselves or from a demon. But very spiritual people that reflect about the state of their souls every day, and they are very vigilant to any temptation, to any emotion in his spirit, they clearly discern between a normal temptation and a standard temptation, and some other temptations that they are very insisting, very hard, very perseverant, and they continues and continues in a very, very intense way, mm-hmm. and without no reason. If I read a book against the faith, for example, the Code Da Vinci, it's normal, it's logic that I have temptation against faith.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm in a monastery, happy, or serving everything, living in a spiritual life, it's not so logic that suddenly, one day, began a very horrible temptation that goes with me every hour of my life for months.
Mm-hmm.
And those demonic temptations suddenly stop, and they never come again. That is an example, very clear and very in the limit of a normal temptation and a temptation that comes from the demons. But with the time, I understand that many temptations come from demons. At the beginning, I thought that perhaps only very, very few temptations came from demons. But with the years, I understand that more than I thought came from them.
Father, you point out in Interview with an Exorcist that sacramental objects are very helpful. Why does, for example, holy water disturb demons?
That is a very, very deep question. Because you're asking how something material could affect somebody that is spiritual.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's something very deep, and the relations between the material things upon the on the spiritual beings is something that I deep year after year. I hope that in the end of my life I will have even better answers.
Sure.
But a very clear and sure answer that explains not everything, but explains part of the problem, is that the church has the church pray upon some objects to God to put an effect on them.
Mm-hmm.
That is sure, and we are not wrong about that. If God wants to put a spiritual effect in a material object, he can do it. And the object carries that power, not for the object, but for the will of God. Because it's a very interesting discussion among theologians how that effect is in the object.
Mm-hmm.
How can be that in something material? And what is sure is that some objects have a spiritual symbolism. For example, water is symbol of cleaning, is symbol of purity. And if you bless that object that has that natural symbolism, you make to be more clear for that spiritual being. And we can say the same for the other materials that the church bless. You can find that some objects always had been blessed in the church, and for example, others not. One day, it was a very, very cold day in my parish. I had a prayer session for a demoniac, and when I went to, there was no holy water in that moment, and in the parish, and I went to the tap for get some water.
Mm-hmm.
It was so cold day that water was completely frozen in the tap and in everything in the church. We are in freezing temperatures.
Mm-hmm.
The center of Spain is very cold in winter. And then I thought, what I can do? And we had a party in the parish the day before, and there was lemonade in a bottle. And I thought, well, I'm going to bless the lemonade, because in that time I used to give a cup of water, of holy water, to that demoniac, and it had a terrible effect.
Mm-hmm.
Then I thought, well, it doesn't matter if I bless water or I bless lemonade, because that material will carry that spiritual effect.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I bless the cup of lemonade, and when the demoniac, compelled by the prayer, had to drink that cup, I saw clearly that the effect was almost nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Little effect, a little disgusting face appear, but no more. And I asked the Lord, what that happened? If that material were carries that spiritual effect, why the effect in the demoniac was so light? And suddenly the voice through the person that was possessed gave an explanation, because God ordered him to say that. And the explanation was, Yes. She spoke with a terrible voice, but I will say in a normal voice. Yes, if you bless something, it has an effect. But the water has symbolism, cleaning, purity, and he says two things more, I do not remember now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I understand in a better way that connection between spiritual and material.
Fascinating.
Wow.
Well, you've talked about demoniacs. What is demonic possession?
Demonic possession is a strange phenomenon that makes to a person that never had a psychiatric problem, that is completely normal, to feel that somebody has entered into his body and that spirit can speak through the own body and move the members. All the cultures knew about this phenomenon. There is no ancient culture that were not aware of that possibility. Perhaps about God, we have more opinions, we have more people that say different things, but the existence of demoniacs, and of course then the existence of evil spirits, is something universal. You mm-hmm. can find among the Egyptians, the Japanese, the Eskimos, the Africans, in all times and in all places of the world. It's not something that comes from a Christian ground. Many people ask me, there are demoniacs among the Arabians? Yes. Of course, I have spoken with their spiritual leaders, and they told me that they knew about that, and they tried to pray to be delivered and things like that. It's something universal. They were before the Christian time, and even if in a culture is completely atheist, for example, the Soviet Union, they appear demoniacs everywhere. Can appear a demoniac, especially when people put his hand farther the veil of the other part. I do not remember the English word. This part and the farther part, mm-hmm. the más allá in Spanish.
Right.
Well,
mm-hmm.
you understand the, yes. the esoteric side.
Father, I'm wondering, why does God allow these kind of demonic possessions?
God allows demonic possession. First, as a punishment for many to try to have a power that God did not give to the sons of men. We like to have powers. And if we do not have in a natural way, some people, they try to gain invoking spirits.
Right.
Or through magic, that is a way to make the spirits to have participation in this world. Then God allows this punishment to understand that this is the wrong way. If we do not have bad fruits, we, the humans, we do not understand that we are in a bad way.
Mm-hmm.
Good fruits and bad fruits make us to understand what is the path we have to follow. The second, because not all the demoniacs are because they have done such things, the second reason is that it's a way that that person and the whole family goes nearer to God. The family will always believe in the existence of God, in the existence of angels, in the power of prayer, in the necessity to have a pure life in the commandments of God. It will be a change in the life of many people around the demoniac. Mm. And what matters in this life is the spirit. And sometimes God permits diseases, economic ruins, many problems to make his sons to go nearer to him.
You do point out, Father, very clearly that in many cases it is because of our tampering with the devil or with spiritualists or cults. In many cases, people open themselves to this type of invitation for possession. Would that be correct?
Yes. The general law is that if you invoke spirits, you may be possessed.
Right.
If you do not invoke spirits, you have not to fear that those spirits will go inside you. They will be around you, tempting, but not inside you. That is the general law with exceptions. Which are the ways that you can invoke spirits? Well, spiritism, of course, with war, the New Age, many times that they invoke energies. Mm-hmm. Those energies are spirits, not energies. Or magic, the sorcery, they knew the demons when we the humans are doing that, and they go in that place and they see what you are asking, and they are willing to do something that you could see that when you do magic, you have some effect, and you go farther and farther in that way, until the moment you could accept a direct addressing to the demons. That is the reason that many people, that they begin with white magic, they finally finish in black magic. But in white magic, the effects correspond to demons too. When you do magic, even to do good for a person, the demons are there because they knew that that is the way that they can be in this world doing things, because God has permitted that they could have some effect in this world if we ask them.
For anyone who is out there listening right now and thinking, well, I am just going to be assaulted by demons, or I could be, remember that the church and just living a good spiritual life is a great deflector, a great wall against all of this. As you point out, Father, praying the rosary, reading the Bible, speaking with God every day, attending Mass frequently, having those blessed objects. It's just making the sign of the cross with holy water, just the things that we do normally in strengthening our Christian life and our walk, preserve us from many of those effects.
Yes, of course. People have not to fear them. The demons fear good Christians. Not perfect Christians, even just good Christians. Very few are completely perfect Christians. Even people that work a lot of for the kingdom of heaven, they are not perfect Christians. Even they are sinners, but they work sometimes in a very generous way for the others and for God. Then do not fear if you are not a perfect Christian. But the Lord gives to you arms that can win completely all those powers, because the infinite power is God, and they have only a limited power. And of course, you have not to think that everything happens because it's a demon behind that. The world is in the human hands. God has given this world to our free will, and is not demon behind everything. That strain to think too much in demon is very bad. It's better not to think in him at all than to think every moment in him.
Right. Yeah, don't give him too much power. You know, basically.
Power. We are weaker or stronger, but he has always the same power.
Exactly. And I really appreciate that you promote the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola to really help one understand this.
In my book, I wrote some very, very wise points, but specifically, I do not recommend in those exercises, because the exercises of St. Ignatius are very exigent. Mm-hmm. Only people that would like to give entirely his life to God perhaps will have the enough strength to do such an exercise that will change his life forever, that is sure. But common people perhaps will be enough to give a weekend to God in a parish retreat or something like that. I encourage just to do retreats, but the exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola are only for people that have the will to change his whole life in those days.
Sure. Yeah. Well, we truly appreciate the book Interview with an Exorcist Father. As the Bishop of Fargo has said in this American edition in writing the foreword, he said that all Catholics should have a basic understanding of the reality of evil. We should also avoid being overly occupied with the topic of the devil, just because that fascination could lead us to despair and fear and discouragement, and we need not fear. And I think you really help us by helping, aiding our understanding, realize that God is so much more powerful.
An idea has come to my mind in this moment when you were reading that. It's an idea that came to my prayer time a day, and I will share to you. Many, many monasteries, convents, were praying day after day to God to protect us. And we do not know, but the hand of God was avoiding many problems for centuries. In this very secular time that so many monasteries have disappeared, especially here in Europe more than there, they are like fortresses that they were protecting us with the prayer, and they have disappeared. And that is the reason that now the demons have more power to tempt them to attack us. It's the same people, but now the forces are evil or not so constrained as in other ages. That is an example of how we have to understand prayer and especially contemplative life as a spiritual warfare. Spiritual life and the monastic orders are a power that protects the walls of the church and even of the world, of the well-being of the world, in every day. Otherwise, if we do not have that wall in the fortress, the same people will do more things because the tempters will have that power to say, do that and do that other thing.
Well,
fascinating.
A real clarion call for all of us to be spiritual warriors, Father.
Especially in prayer, and to support those in our Christian community who enter monasteries or enter the religious life to pray for us and for this world.
For the world. Well, Father, we want to thank you so much for being with us, Father Jose Antonio Fortea. And Father, before you depart, would you impart your priestly blessing to us and our audience?
Oh, yes, I will do. But I will do in Spanish because I don't know the formula in English.
We would love it in Spanish.
Yes.
Okay. Dios Todopoderoso bendice a todos los que en este momento nos estén escuchando. Virgen María, pon tu velo sobre ellos. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.
Amen. Father, thank you so much.
Gracias.
It was a pleasure.